into the ring if you're ready to care.
What is good, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slappin' Meat Wrestling Podcast. We got a stacked show for you. We're going to talk Monday Night Raw. We're going to break down some questions from the Discord. We're going to continue our best wrestling theme of all time, Bracket Battle. But before we break into all of that, as always, like, share, subscribe, affiliate links in the description of the episode. Join the Discord page. That link is also in the Discord. Great conversations, watch-alongs, bracket battles, all of this wonderful stuff will be posted in the Discord, and the only way to participate in the conversation around the podcast episodes, around the Beyond the Junkyard podcast episodes, and about the world of wrestling, the only place you could find We Too Deep outside of this podcast to talk about wrestling is the Discord page. That link is in the description. Let's talk wrestling. We're going to start our opening thought. And in order to perfectly set up, give the context of the situation, it requires me to play a clip. And then once I play the clip, I will describe everything that's going on. All right, but let me play the clip first. So without further ado.
Look how dorky this guy looks. Will using Nord keep me from getting mad SRS DMs for posting his content and giving him credit? Well, here's what it'll do, Randall. It will at least give you some redeemable quality. Getting NordVPN.com/Fightful will at least give you something in your life that will make people look at you and go, well, at least that's a redeeming quality about him. At least he is not so stupid, so dumb, that while obsessed with Sean Ross Sapp and a message that he posted or a message he sent a month ago, that he still comes to Sean Ross Sapp shows after doing videos crying, oh my God, Sean asked me to credit the work that he did. He didn't want me to post it 3 seconds after he posted it on his paywall service that pays for 40 staff members because I don't know what a job is. And then call up your friend and say, hey, can you also post a video about Sean? Nobody's watching mine. The only way I can get attention is when Sean drags my ass on his post show. Ah! At least that friend will be like, damn, man, you're an absolute loser. And yes, I'll do it because you've got NordVPN.com/Fightful. At least there's that. And listen, for all the time you spend on the internet, you at least had the fastest VPN in the world while you do that. Thank you for the segue. And next time, if you got anything to say to me, DMs are open, Playboy. They're open. Not difficult to contact. But yeah, if you take the paywalled content that I have worked on and that pays for Luis, Zach, pays for the guy doing the thumbnail right now, Rob, pays for our staff of 40, and then you immediately post it, you're probably going to get a message from me that says, hey, could you please have some common courtesy and some respect for that and not do that? Because it's kind of a shitty thing to do.
All right. So let's give the context of the situation. Let's break this down. So this was from Sean's Raw post show from last night, right? And so for all of those who don't know, I'm not the biggest fan of Sean Ross Sapp, and I'm not going to, you know, hide that at all. Here's where I stand on the issue. All right, so essentially what happened was about a month ago, Junkyard James pays for Sean Ross Sapp's Patreon page, right? And that's another conversation for another day. He pays for that, right? And he, I guess Sean posted an article behind the paywall of Patreon, and in Junkyard James, he took that article 2 to 3 minutes after it was posted on the Patreon and shared it on Twitter, X, gave Sean Ross Sapp credit, said great work, Sean, by Sean Ross Sapp, and Fightful credited that, and then pointed people to go and subscribe to Sean Ross Sapp's Patreon for more information. Sean then DMs him and says, bro, I just posted this 5 minutes ago, right? And basically says, can you not do this? Right? Now, there's an argument about whether or not someone who subscribes to, you know, if I started a Patreon, there's an argument about whether ethically, legally, it's allowed to be posted. So the terms of services of Patreon require the content creators' written permission to share the content. That's sort of the whole point of Patreon and services like it, that it does, there doesn't need to be anything in the terms of services of the individual page, because Patreon prohibits it as a company. It's a little nuanced, because right, it's a little nuanced in that The other question is, technically, anything posted behind a paywall is protected by copyright law. Technically, without written permission, is breaking copyright law, right? So, do I think Sean has an argument about this? Sure. I think Sean can say, hey, can you not post my content? Where I disagree with Sean Ross Sapp is making this a bigger deal than it has to be, right? I've kind of held off from it because I do kind of differ, in my opinion, from Junkyard James. And, you know, Notorious Nerdy D with the Casual Wrestling Podcast did an episode on this that Sean Ross Sapp referenced. By the way, and we're going to break down what Sean said in this clip here in a minute, but I got to give the context, right? And I kind of don't necessarily agree with James and Nerdy D, in that they sort of like, well, if I go and buy McDonald's, you can't tell me what to, right? The problem with that is McDonald's chicken nuggets aren't copyrighted. Right. So I hate to say this. I am in the favor of Sean here. Sean does have a legal right to say you can't share my content. He doesn't have to put it on the terms of services. I'm not the biggest argument of, well, this is just common courtesy. So, because I do see where James's standpoint is, right? I credited you. I told people to go subscribe. I push people to your business. I pay for the content, what I use it for. I understand that. there are laws and nuances around it, right? You don't have the right to put paywall content up without the explicit written consent of the person who posted, right? Now, in the clip, I play around with Sean. Here's why. While I agree with Sean, I think he crashes out way too easily, right? From a legal standpoint, I would have to stand behind Sean Ross Sapp as a business owner, has every right to say, don't post my content without my permission. And it really isn't don't post it. It's not, he's not really saying don't post it. Just give me time to share it first, right? If you waited 10 minutes, that article's on his page, then you could, right? Because ultimately all that comes back down to is Sean Ross Sapp is trying to promote his business and protect his business. And I can completely understand this. Where this gets to my opening thoughts on this is, why do people, this is ultimately the question, why do people pay for such useless existence like a Dave Meltzer, like a Sean Ross Sapp? Why do people pay for this paywalled stuff, right? I've never understood why someone would want to pay for that. I feel like it, no matter how cheap or it is, $6 a month for that is still too much for me. But I've never understood the need to be that up to date, especially if that information is going to get tweeted out anyway, by other people, whether they post links or not. Like, I don't see the need to do this, right? But the biggest thing is, like, Sean Ross Sapp adds nothing to the actual wrestling community, right? I hate to say it, he's such a useless part of this community. He adds nothing to the actual wrestling community, because here's where I will agree with James and Dirty D, who did this episode. No one's actually paying for Sean Ross Sapp's opinions. They're paying for the information. Right now, here's what James should have done instead. He should have taken the information, you know, and not posted the article, but said, hey, Sean Ross Sapp, according to Sean Ross Sapp, such and such is going to happen, and not post the article. Again, I don't know if Sean would have even been upset with that, right? Because if you don't take the content and don't post and share the information that's behind the paywall, and you don't share the links and everything, but you sort of give a rewritten synopsis of what it's saying, that's not copyrighted material. You could do that, right? If I wrote an article on something, shared it behind a paywall, and then you guys took what I said and did like your and rewrote it in your own words, that's not copyright. That's not plagiarism. You can do whatever you want with that, right? And so James should have done that. And I think I'm going to be honest with you. This isn't like me trying to like pick, you know, say James is in the wrong. I do think he took it the wrong way. I think Sean was just saying simply, this is my business. Can you not ruin my money? Right. I understand the argument that James paid for the information. He should be able to share it. But I again, it's a very nuanced situation. This isn't me being pro SRS. SRS is still a little bitch, right? So let's break down that actual clip. Again, I'm fully joking, right? Me, Wavy D, and James and all that, we've sort of said, hey, whenever we find Sean Ross Sapp live streaming, let's just fucking troll the shit out of him, right? So I'm in full troll mode when I'm posting what I posted there, right? Because it actually does go against what I think of the situation. I just told you I'm actually on Sean's side here, surprisingly, right? Because I do think Sean has a legal case to say, don't share my stuff. And so in troll mode, and hey, bro, he's doing an ad for NordVPN, and I always hate these transition ads, right? Two things. If you ever see me here at the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast doing two things, promos and ads for brands that don't give two shits about you, that they just want your money, or promoting a Patreon. I'm not going to promote. First off, I don't have the time to make exclusive content. But secondly, I don't feel that you who already are getting priced out by WWE should have to be priced out of getting information from me, because I don't offer anything important, right? Just as useless as Sean Ross Sapp is to this industry and to the business of pro wrestling, I'm just as useless, and I'm willing to admit that. I'm no one special here. That's the difference between me and Sean, is I don't think I'm special enough to like dictate pro wrestling and like, oh, I'm special because I run Fightful. Now, Sean, you're a loser just as much as the rest of us, right? Well, right. So I'm trolling him, right? And so it's during his little ad for Nord, and I get this little light bulb that goes off of brilliance, because I was trying to figure out, like, what could I say that could trigger him, right? And so there we go. Can Nord protect me from the mad Sean, the angry SRS me DMs for giving him credit for news on the internet, right? And it worked to a T. It worked exactly the way I wanted it to do. The chat was going very slow at the moment. No one was really commenting. It was a quiet moment. So he obviously saw it, and you saw the result of that, right? Nothing was edited there. Excuse me, right? Here's the problem. First off, Sean, your response is very telling. One, that you obviously don't care about your customers, because it wasn't even me. I'm not even a customer. I'm not even complaining on behalf of myself. It was, right? It was Junkyard James who started this thing, right? And he went after Wavy D a couple weeks ago for the right, and crashed down on Wavy because Wavy was doing the same thing and trolling, right? And so first off, it wasn't me, Sean, right? But second, the fact that you have someone who's watching your product, right? How you respond to this troll could change the way, I'm already in your side. I do believe, Sean, you have the right to tell people not to share your content. I do. I actually do. I'm on your side here. But how you respond is what irritates me, Sean. And I'm going to talk as if I'm talking to Sean Rossap, right? I'll look right at the camera as if I'm looking you right in the face, Sean. How you respond to these situations is why people continue to troll you, big dog, right? Because you think you're better than us. Bro, just your tone, your condescending, oh, you're such a loser. Sean, you... The fuck you talking about, dude? Oh, he doesn't know what a job, bro. I work 40 plus hours a week. I know what a job is. I fully respect your grind of Fightful, but let's not act like you do anything important, Sean. You don't. You sit on your ass and you podcast and you write articles, and I'm sure it's a busy job, and you pretend to play journalist even though you're 97% wrong and all 87.5% of statistics are made up on spot, including the ones I just gave. But Sean, you don't do anything important. You don't offer a service that is necessary. And so my question is, why do people feel the need to promote someone who obviously is a cancer in the environment? Bro is so condescending. If he treats people who pays for his product this way, imagine how he treats people who don't pay for his product, right? I don't understand why people protect this. This dude is obviously a dick, right? He thinks he's so much better than he actually is, that because he's interviewed big time wrestlers and he's big time known, and he's getting the press passes and he has contacts in WWE, bro, you're such a big shot, Sean. Congratulations. You made it, big dog. You made it. But you really didn't. Because you're a shitty person, dude. I don't know him personally, but I can just tell by the way he reacts here. Sean, you're a shitty dude. You're a shitty person, dude. If you're gonna, and what's crazy is the people who listen to this bullshit are the same people, are going to be the same people who are like, we got to stop bullying and wrestling. Wrestling's so toxic. We just got to stop all the bullying. And then your number one source of information in the wrestling journalism is a dude who, anytime someone critiques Sean Ross Sapp, he bullies them. And then he cusses them out and blocks them. Oh, my DMs are open, Playboy. First off, don't call me Playboy. You use that word way too much. You think you're bigger than who you think you are, Sean. Bro, you're like, what, 5'9", 150? Bro. I'm not a promoter of violence, especially in this situation. Because I was waiting for his, oh, come see me in person. Like all the other, excuse my language, like all the other fucktards who think that they're bigger than who they are on the internet. Just because they got a little bit of an, oh, you wouldn't do that in my face. You wouldn't say it. Sean, you're a pussy. This is plain and simple. You're a pussy. You're not going to do shit. Sean, I don't know if you know this. I'm 6'3 and a biscuit over 400. I'm about Bronson Reed size, big dog. You ain't going to do shit. Right? Right? You ain't going to do nothing. And I'm not even scared. I'm not going to do nothing. It's not even worth messing with someone like Sean. Right? It's just not. But I just find it fascinating that people will pay money for him to give them absolute. First off, because here's the thing. If Sean posts these exclusive articles, right? And the first time that let's say I paid for it, right? And he posts these exclusive articles. The first time he's wrong, I'm ending my subscription to his service because obviously he's not trustworthy. And it's not worth the money if I'm going to get fed false information. Triple H is hurting his business plan more than my brother sharing your fucking article telling people to go subscribe to your page. But you continue to be wrong and then continue to post. It's not a work, guys. I promise you. Our truth was actually released or not re-signed. And Nick Khan. No, Sean, stop covering your ass. You don't know what you're talking about. And Triple H worked you, big dog. He worked you. It is what it is, right? I don't understand why people subscribe and pay for this nonsense, right? That information is not valuable because it's mostly wrong. Right? I just don't get it. So that's my opening thought. Let us actually talk about actual wrestling, actual things that matter in this business. And that is, we're going to break down Monday Night Raw. And it was an interesting Raw, to be sure. I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't feeling good last night. I had a massive neck pain and headache and a whole bunch of stuff going on. So I wasn't fully paying attention. It was sort of a bad day yesterday, if I was being honest. I saw the opening segment, and we're going to talk about Punk a little bit more because James has a question about him. So we'll talk more so about Punk. But Cena and Punk apparently are going to fight at Saudi. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Chad Gable gets a match with AJ Styles. I don't remember this. I think this was around the time I fell asleep. I do remember waking up and Roxanne Perez had a match against Rhea, Liv, and Kairi Sane, the first of the Queen of the Rings. I remember watching that. We'll break down Queen of the Ring here in a minute. Becky did a promo. Bayley came out and attacked her. Now, again, the interesting segment, R-Truth comes out, proclaims that Ron Killings is here, completely confirms my belief that this is a work. Sami Zayn, Braun Breaker, Penta, Dominic in the men's King of the Ring. You get a Nikki Bella segment, and then Gunther and Jay to end the night. So let us break down some of what I found interesting, right? So let's talk about, more so, we're going to predict the Queen in King of the Ring brackets for this year. Maybe if I can get it pulled up. Because I should have been prepared for this, but I wasn't. All right. So let's start. So obviously we already know the first male to move on. We'll start with the men. So obviously between Sami Zayn, Penta, Breaker, and Mysterio, before we predict the rest of this bracket, can we stop doing fucking Fatal 4-Ways and Triple Threat bracket? There's no reason why these couldn't have been singles matches. You could have run two singles women's and two singles men's matches on this card. Got rid of some of the extra bullshit and moved on, right? I honestly, but no, we made them Fatal 4-Way so that we can have attacks and stuff, right? And that is what it is, right? But Sami Zayn is moving on, right? He's going to face the winner of Randy Orton, LA Knight, Aleister Black, and Carmelo Hayes. If I had to predict a winner here, I think LA Knight's going to get jumped by the goons because he attacked Seth, I believe, if I remember correctly. I'm going Carmelo Hayes. I think Carmelo Hayes wins this match. Though it could be Randy Orton. I'm going to go Carmelo as my official prediction. We then get Cody Rhodes, Damian Priest, Andrade, and Shinsuke Nakamura. This is a really weird matchup. I don't actually know where they're going to go here. Part of me believes Cody's probably going to get attacked. I'm going to go Damian. I'm going to go Damian Priest to win that one. And then next week on Raw, you have Sheamus, Rusev, Bronson Reed, and a mystery opponent. So here's what I'm going to predict here. I believe the mystery opponent will be Ilya Dragunov. And I think Dragunov is going to win this match. I do. If it's not Dragunov, I have zero clue who this is going to be. I really don't. I have zero clue who this is going to be if it's not Dragunov. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's going to be Jay since he lost the title, and it's going to be he's going to win the tournament and get a rematch at SummerSlam. I don't see that happening at all. I just don't. I think we're done with that. I think Gunther's going to move forward to look at someone like Goldberg, which will be in July. I think Seth Rollins is cashing in pretty soon, right? And so I think when we plan this, like the winner of this tournament gets a match against the champion of their brand. And so I don't think Cena loses. And I could see a world where Cody Rhodes wins the whole tournament and gets another match against Cena. But I think Dragunov, if it is Dragunov, I think if it is him, I think Gunther holds the title through SummerSlam. And Dragunov and Gunther is the match at SummerSlam. That's my belief. It could be Jay. I can understand the story where like Jay gets it again and Seth cashes in long term, right? Seth cashes in, stops Jay from getting the title back, steals the title from Jay, ultimately leading to like the bigger story of Sammy's redemption and getting the title back to the good guys. I really don't want that to be the story. It may be. And now that I put that into the atmosphere, that's probably where it's going to go. If it's not Dragunov, it's probably going to be Jay. That'll be my second pick. But I do think whoever the mystery man is winning the match and probably going to go to the finals to fight Carmelo Hayes is going to be my answer there. I think it's going to be Carmelo and well, actually no, because this the finals is in Saudi. So I think Sammy's going to be in the finals. Which makes me wonder. I don't think it's going to be Bronson because Sammy versus Bronson makes no sense. I think it's going to be Sammy versus Dragunov in the finals. And I think Dragunov will beat Sami Zayn. And then or let's reverse it. Let's reverse it because I just thought this through, right? Sami Zayn's going to win this tournament. Sami Zayn's going to win this tournament. He's going to win King of the Ring, right? And then he's going to fight Gunther. He's going to come close to winning the match. Seth Rollins is going to cash in and stop Sami from winning the tournament and winning the title at SummerSlam. Seth is going to cash in at SummerSlam, become champion. Sammy's going to get his redemption at Mania. So that's more of a likable story that I could see. I think Sammy's going to win it. And so we'll stick with that, right? And I know that hurts, and I know Kara's probably throwing stuff at the wall. She's hearing this. But I do believe that's where it's going to go, right? So let's move on to the women, Queen of the Ring. We know Roxanne's moving on. We got Jade Cargill, Meechan, Piper Niven, Nia Jax. I think Jade Cargill is winning that match. I don't see a reason why you have anyone else win it. Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Chelsea Green, Candice LeRae. I would give this to Chelsea, if I'm being honest. I would give this to Chelsea. And then on the other side, you got a returning Asuka, Stephanie Vaquer, Ivy Nile, Raquel Rodriguez. As bad as this hurts, nah, fuck it. I was going to pick Asuka, but no, it's going to be Stephanie Vaquer. Stephanie Vaquer is going to win. Who am I kidding, though? Like, who am I kidding? It's going to be Asuka. Because I do believe Asuka's winning this whole tournament. And I think we're going to get Asuka versus Io at SummerSlam. I think they're going to make Stephanie look good in the match. But I am going to pick Asuka. Asuka's going to win the whole tournament. That, right? So easy does it there. Let's talk about CM Punk. Right? Is he going to Saudi? We're going to mention James's question now before the question in Discord segment because it does play into this. I was already going to talk about it. A lot of people are calling Punk a hypocrite, right? Because Punk has publicly been outspoken of the Saudi deal, even told, I think it was The Miz, to go suck a bag of blood money dicks or something like that, and which is a really awkward thing to tell somebody, but who am I to judge? does this make Punk a hypocrite that he's now planning on going to Saudi? I don't necessarily, first off, I don't care. I don't care what y'all like. I don't like CM Punk because of his personal preferences, right? I like CM Punk because I think he's a great character, right? I could care less about Phil Brooks. I think CM Punk is a great character. I think it's a great promo. I think he's all of that, right? And how he feels personally about the Saudi deal, it's none of my business, nor do I think he's going to let that stop him from doing business. Ultimately, though, I don't think he goes. I think the match has been confirmed, and I think Ron Killings is going to somehow take CM Punk's place. Because I think the bigger match would be Punk Cena at SummerSlam, and I think that's where they're going to have the match. So I think the match at Saudi would be Ron Killings versus John Cena, just personally. And then the last thing to really talk about with Raw is the fact that all is right again in the world of WWE Monday Night Raw. Because the Yeet Slayer, our ring general, Gunther, is the world heavyweight champion again. And a surprising victory. Clean victory. no cash in, no attack on Jay. Very interesting how that played out. I'm interested in the story and how it's going to turn out. Storyline-wise, I have zero clue where this is going, which is what I like, right? For the first time, it feels like in quite a while, since like the Bloodline era, I have zero idea of where like a major story is going. Is Seth going to cash in on Gunther? Is he going to wait till SummerSlam? Is it going to happen in Saudi? Is it going to happen at Saturday night's main event? Right? Where is all of this happening? What's the story? What's going to happen? Is Gunther going to be in a match with Goldberg at Saturday night's main event? Like, I could see like that play out where Goldberg's beating the shit out of him and then he gets jumped by the goons. But I don't think Goldberg will, you know, this is another question Kara asked. So we'll hold off on my ultimate thoughts on the match to that question. But like, I don't think Goldberg would want interference in his final match. But just as a comment, all is right. Gunther is champion again. 51 days was far too long for the Jey Uso reign. Y'all had it. Y'all don't need it again. Stop asking for it. I hate how automatically we like, oh, he got the rematch clause. No, he doesn't. He's got a like I get it. It's a thing, right? But when did we start actually acknowledging rematch clauses again? Because for like a period of time there, we stopped recognizing it. And then all of a sudden, Rhea Ripley starts asking for rematch clauses every time she loses the title. And now like shtick. Anyway, that is what it is. Becky Lynch got ass kicked by the BBL, Big Booty Latina. last night was Big Booby Latina. Bayley. Look, Bayley can get it. That's all I got to say. That was a great segment. I'm a little confused on where it's going. Is Bayley and Lyra working together? If so, does Becky have a partner to help fight this off? And I promise you, if this is fucking Lita again, I'm done. I don't know. I think ultimately this leads to Bayley versus Becky. I'm kind of confused where Lyra fits in to this. I think Lyra should be in the Queen of the Ring, but that's a whole separate thing. Anyway, that's my Raw thoughts. I don't have a lot to talk about on Raw. I thought it was a pretty mid show. I didn't think it was all that good. I think it just continues the pattern of boring. And it's not, that doesn't mean bad. It just means it's not bad. It's not bad enough to just critique the whole show, but it's also not good enough to sit here and be like, yo, this is great. It was just boring. It's just, it's like you're lukewarm. I spit you out of my mouth type stuff. Right. So with that being said, we're going to jump over to the bracket battles and we'll break that down. So first off, I posted in the Discord. We had a couple ties for Zack Ryder's Radio versus Taker Rest in Peace. And so I made the rules, right? I went to ChatGTP. I said, flip a coin three times, doing them independent of each other. I don't know if you guys know how statistics work, but you always got to program these AIs to do things independent of each other. Especially if you're rolling dice or whatever, that they're independent rolls. It's just how you do things in statistics, but, independent flips of each other. The first one doesn't affect the second one essentially. Right. And the two out of three wins. In that case, the rifle winner, rest in peace, Undertaker, beats Radio, Zack Ryder. That shouldn't have even been a tie. I know the conversation was like Zack Ryder's song is an actual song. Guys, here's what happens, right? When you hear Radio, right? When you hear woo, 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 does it create an ethereal response where you get chills down your spine? No. If I heard it, you know, okay, it'll create a response. I'll sing to it. Oh, Radio, right? I get it. It's a great tune. But when that gong hits, when Rest in Peace comes on, you stop in place. You shiver. You get chills down your back. It's an experience. Rest in Peace was the rightful winner. The other one that was tied was Stone Cold Steve Austin, I Don't Do What You Say, versus Kevin Owens' theme song, Fight. And I flipped that as well, and Stone Cold won that. Again, rightfully so. The other two winners, Thugonomics, John Cena beats Let's Light It Up, AJ Lee. And unfortunately, our Discord has intelligent, awful taste in wrestling themes and picked I Walk Alone over My Time for Triple H. My Time, in my opinion, is the greatest wrestling theme of all time. But with that going to be said, we're going into this week's bracket battle. With the first matchup being, is it Crank It Up, Big Show? Well, it's the Big Slow, right? Big Show, Crank It Up versus Chris Benoit, whatever. That's a tough one for me. Not really. Y'all will see how I vote in the Discord. The second matchup is DX, Are You Ready? And then they're fighting. They're going against I'm Coming by MVP. This next one is a little bit unfair because it's an actual song by a very popular band. It's Sting's WCW Seek and Destroy, which is done by Metallica, right? And then that's going up with Adam Cole. You know it's all about the boom, right? And then our final matchup is Slow Chemical Kane, and it's going up against a heavy hitter, also an actual song done by actually that's the wrong one, that's his current one. Oh yep, this is going up. This is actually Jim Johnson. This isn't the POD version for Rey Mysterio, but this is 619. You know, who's that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y, Mysterio. Here we go. Win the mask out. The girls, they pass out. The boys just black out. Better tap out. Go off the top rope. Hey, look out below. The next thing you know, you'll be on the flow. What you gonna do when you on your back? With a mean body slam, oh, damn you whack. You're like, what the heck? All of a sudden, this dude sitting on my neck. Where's the ref? Straight from the WWE. Go home and strut what you see when you face the man of mystery. All right, I'm done. But y'all know where I'm going with this one. This one's tough, too, because I like Slow Chemical. I'm battling, but 619's a banger. Rey Mysterio's best song. Those are our matchups for this week's bracket battle to get into the quarterfinals. But with that being said, let's jump straight into some questions from the Discord page. And we start with Kara's question: who should win in a Gunther versus Goldberg match? And why? She asked a second question, but let's answer this one first. Gunther. Without a doubt, Gunther has to win this match for two reasons. One, Goldberg's retiring. I've always been on the belief system that if you're retiring, you should go out on your shoulders. You should put someone over. But secondly, the report's coming out that Goldberg can't even make it through training healthy. Like, bro's struggling with training. And if that's the case, no one actually wants to see this match. This should be a Gunther squash match. Kara's next question is, should this match be a quick squash like Goldberg style or a long, brutal war, which is more of Gunther style? I think a little bit like so I want a Gunther squash match. Like I want what the Pat McAfee match should have been, where like the bell rings. Like I can imagine it, right? The bell rings, Gunther is in the corner, Goldberg starts to go for a spear, and as he's going, Gunther sort of like sidesteps it or chops him, you know, counters the move, and then just slap power bomb, maybe another power bomb, another chop, something like that, and just end the match. But I do think this will be a longer style match in reality. How I would book it would be a Gunther squash. I just don't see that happening. Kara also asks, if you had the pink slip someone today, who would it be and why would you choose Sami Zayn? I hate to break your heart again, Kara. I know I made you happy putting over the 49ers last week. I'm going to break your heart here. I wouldn't pink slip Sami Zayn. I think he's a serviceable jobber. That's where he should be. He should be serviceable jobber. He should be Dolph Ziggler. But if I had to pink slip somebody today off of the WWE roster, that's a tough question. I don't know. That's a really tough question. I probably would go Charlotte Flair. And it's not because I don't necessarily think she's deserving of the job. I don't think that I need Charlotte Flair on the roster. I think that's also a heavy contract. And she's not needed. She's not a necessity on the roster. Because they proved that they could go without her. She's been replaced. She is a mid-carder now, but she gets paid way too much to be a mid-carder, and her ego doesn't want to be a mid-carder. So I would pink slip her. Maybe also someone like a Natalya. But Natalya's a good, like, quality, like, again, that jobber, like, Sami Zayn role, that Dolph Ziggler role. I would have to go through the roster. I'm sure there's someone I could pink slip. I'm personally of the idea that WWE, I think their roster's fine, to be honest. I think they could probably add some more in depth in a role somewhere. But, yeah. She also asked, your brother Junkyard James told me earlier that Moxley will drop the title. What are the chances of Swerve Strickland interfering and Mox retaining? Let me tell you what I told you in the Discord. I don't know if Swerve interacts with this match, but I will tell you Moxley will retain. I actually do think, Kara, if you're asking me how I would book this based on the limited knowledge I have of the product, I actually think the chance of Swerve interfering and costing Hangman the match is 100%. That's actually my prediction for the match. My prediction for this is the build is we got to save AEW from Moxley. So Swerve, you may not like Hangman, but we got to join the force. So I think what the big play is, because Ospreay and Swerve are fighting each other this Wednesday, tomorrow night. The big play at stake here is just lost my train of thought. I think what's eventually going to happen is when we get to All In, I think Swerve is going to come out. His music's going to hit Whose House, right? And the crowd's going to erupt. And I think he comes down to the ring. I think he looks at Moxley. I think he looks at Hangman. And I think he attacks Hanger. Moxley retains the title. And I think Moxley, I'm going to stick on business here. Moxley's going to retain the title all the way until Darby wins it at WrestleDream, if it's in Tacoma, I believe. I know James thinks that if Moxley retains here, it's going to go to Ospreay at Forbidden Door. I don't believe that. I think Moxley's holding this title until September, October, whenever Wrestle Dream is. That's just me personally. And then the last question is from Wavy D. Realistically, how do you see WWE using AAA going forward? What level of talent and what type of events? It's a great question. I know. Is it Legado is going to be a Triple Mania, which is big. Next week they're in a match with Pagano, Psycho Clown, two other guys that I don't know who they are, and the Nemeth Brothers. It's a fatal four-way tag match. Berto and Angel, the Garzas, I think they're in there. I think WWE, I've heard some rumors that fan favorite Mr. Iguana will, you know, I haven't watched NXT yet, so who knows? He probably showed up somewhere in NXT. But I heard that he's being talked about being on NXT. I do think, if anything, that this will be a mostly NXT and a mostly Latino, Hispanic talent thing. I don't necessarily know how big we'll get it on actual WWE programming. I think they're just going to run it like it's its own entity still. I know Jeremy Borash is running it creatively, so I know the creative is in good hands. Conan's a part of the team. And so we'll see what all of that. What I will know is I found out that the Spanish ring announcer, not Lillian, but the actual Spanish WWE in Espanol ring announcer that was doing some ring announcing during Worlds Collide is Finn Balor's wife. And to that I say, Finn, you lucky dog. Which actually is a great transition into my final thoughts. But before I get there, I made a promise the other day to somebody in the Discord that I completely did not live up to. And I just thought about it as I'm recording this. And I thought about it because the subject of what I thought about is someone's birthday. And it's actually my mom's birthday tomorrow. And I was just thinking about, like, oh, I'm going to miss Dynamite because we're going to take my mom out, which it is what it is. Then I remembered, oh, shoot. I promised this person. I promised this person a while ago, I think. It's been at least a week. Yeah. 8 days ago. And I told her I was going to shout her out. This is Miss Kara. 8 days ago was your birthday, so happy late birthday. I'm sorry, your shout out that I told you I was going to do is a week late. But there it is. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to my final thoughts, which is something I found out and something that I've been finding out here recently. Yeah, I don't care. We have these arguments all the time as men, right? Like, who are the baddest? Y'all, Latinas just are on a different level. Latinas are on a different level, y'all. They just do everything better. The food is better. They just look better, right? And I'm not disparaging on any other subsection of women. You know, I like white women. I like your basic blonde white women, too. Like, I'm not hating on them. I make fun of them a lot, like Liv Morgan, because I could find eight Liv Morgans at the random Hooters down the street. But no hate toward y'all. No hate to the fine black queens out there. We support you. And we love you. Asians, this is no hate. Y'all, when it comes to the three that I've mentioned so far, y'all at the bottom, and you're not even close. You're not even anywhere close to third place. No hate. It's just a preference, right? If y'all like Asians, do your thing. Europeans, you're white. So we're gonna loop all of y'all into white, right? Even the Greeks and the Italians, they're the spicy whites. Right? But Latinas, there's just some better, right? And we had a lot of Latinas on our TV, right, in the last week. Ty Mello came back. I know she's from Brazil. She's Latina still. She's from Latin America. She's not Hispanic because Brazil speaks Portuguese, so they don't speak Spanish, right? So she's not Hispanic, but she's Latina. Difference, right? Tay Mello's back. Right, we got Stephanie Vaquer in four matches last week. We got Lola Vice. We got Cheek Tormenta, which y'all may not find attractive, but I did. And I was introduced not only to Finn Balor's wife, who's fine, but I was introduced to Andrea Basuarte. I think that's how you say her last name. Bazarte from WWE Espanol. And I think I saw that she's like Miss Latin America for good reason. This lady, fine with a capital F. Latinas just do it better. But even outside of just looks, the top women in WWE right now, the future is Latina. Stephanie, Raquel, Roxanne, Zelina Vega. Great. Latinas just do it better. And that's where we're going to end it. It's a crazy way to end the podcast, right? But like, share, subscribe. Let me know what you think. It's a shorter episode than normal. Let me know what your favorite part of Raw was. What would you rank Raw in the comments? And yeah. Until then, I will see you guys on Friday. We're going to talk NXT. We'll bring back Deep Five. We'll have a new subject to talk about there. And I'm sure some news will drop. Y'all give me some topics as well that you want me to talk about on Friday in the Discord. But until then, I will see you all on Friday. Have a great rest of your week. I'll see you then. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.